Our reading this morning, we have two readings this morning, Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 32. That gives us a bit of background to what we say a little later. Genesis 32, verse 22 to 32. And then put your finger in Luke chapter 2, verse 36 to 38. Luke chapter 2, verse 36 to 38. Genesis chapter 32, verse 22. This is what God says. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he would not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him, and he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. And then across to Luke chapter 2, and we read verse 36 to 38. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Amen, and we know God will add his blessing to these readings. Now, two different readings, but there is a big connection. Let me try and explain it. In these three verses, we learn a lot about this favored and gracious woman called Anna. I say favored and gracious because her name comes from the Hebrew word Hannah, which means grace or favor. It's quite simple, really. It's also the meaning of the name Anne and Anya. Anna is only mentioned here in Luke's Gospel and nowhere else in the New Testament. And after reading this portion of Scripture, I'm inclined to think gracious was a very good way to describe Anna's character. First of all, in verse 36, there was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. Even in this verse, we start to learn a lot about this gracious lady. The parents she had, she was the daughter of Phanuel. Phanuel comes from the word Peniel, which means the face of God. And we got that as we read Genesis 32 together. Jacob was returning to his family after 20 years. He's on his own after sending his family and servants and his livestock on ahead of him. Now, if you remember, Jacob means supplanter or trickster, because he tricked his brother Esau out of his birthright and then tricked his father to get the inheritance. He was advised by his mother, Rebekah, to go back to her family where he fell in love with Rachel. But he got tricked into marrying Leah, Rachel's sister, and then Rachel 7 years later. He had 11 sons between them and their maidservants, and after 20 years' labor for his father-in-law, he decided to return home. On the way, he sent his wives and concubines, his children and servants ahead of him, and he stopped there for the night because he was afraid to meet his brother Esau. That night, he wrestled with the man until daybreak. He wrestled all night, and the man eventually dislocated his hip to force him to let go. Then the man changed his name from Jacob to Israel, which means struggled for God. Jacob, now Israel, asked the man his name, but he didn't tell him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The reason that happened, the man was God himself in some human form. And we know that to see God face to face means death. No man can look on God and live. And Jacob called that place Peniel because he saw God face to face and yet his life was spared. What a gracious God, even at a time like that. So Peniel means, I'll go back to where it is. Peniel means nearness of God, the presence of God, the accessibility of God. It speaks of the intimate face-to-face communion with God that's a privilege of every Christian. What a privilege. The child of God can come into the presence of God and call on the name of God. We can call him Father and be sure of a hearing. What a privilege. We have this life, not because of who we are, what we've done. We have this life because of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Anna, also described as being of the tribe of Asher. Asher was the eighth son of Jacob, and his mother was Leah's handmaid, Zilpah. When Leah gave him his name, Asher, it was because she was happy. And here we have Anna, a gracious lady who did eventually see the face of God in the baby Jesus. She was so happy she couldn't contain herself and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. And as Christians, we should show the same characteristics. If we consider that as believers, we are saved by grace. We are kept by grace. Day by day, we enjoy God's favor. We live in the day of grace. And in the eternal age to come, we'll partake in the riches of his grace. And if that's the case, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, whoever we meet, no matter who they are, no matter where we meet them, we too should come across as gracious people, reflecting the grace of God in our lives. Then we're told Anna was a prophetess. Let me explain once again that a prophet is not necessarily someone who foretold the future. They were men and women who told forth God's word. Often in the Old Testament, the prophets, with a capital P, did tell what God declared for the future of Israel. But even that was the result of God telling them what the future was. They didn't think it up, didn't dream it up themselves. God told them, and they foretold it. And as they proclaimed God's word, they told forth the future God had predicted. And if we're to be technical, it could be said that Andrew and Rodney, Phil and Tim, as far as Phil and Josh and Matthew and Colum are prophets, with small p's, because they tell forth God's word. When they're asked to bring a message from God, they come before the Lord, they seek his face to know what God would have them to tell us when they preach. And as God reveals the message to them, they come to the church and tell forth what God has told them to say. So when Anna spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel, she was telling forth what she knew to be the word of God. But it's not just the preachers who are the prophets. Anna was God's mouthpiece in her situation. She wasn't a preacher. And we are the same. We're here to speak for God, to speak up for God, to speak out for God. And we need to be aware that when God gives us an opportunity to speak for him, to speak to our family and friends, It doesn't really take much. Just enough to let your hearer know you're a Christian. And if they want to know more about God, they can come to you and ask. We see Anna's positive outlook. Tells us that she was very old. She lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. It says in the NIV, until she was 84. But in the AV it says, she lived as a widow for 84 years. Now, if you do the maths, if she was a married woman for 7 years and then a widow for 84 years, and plus if we say she was single until she was 16, and then married, and that's possible, that would make her 107 years old. But even if she was only a widow until she was 84 years old, she was still a gracious but happy lady. Life would have been hard for this woman. She didn't have any children. That was a slur on the woman in those days. Her husband died shortly after they were married. And since she had no husband or children, she had no means of support in her old age. People with Anna's situation tend to look at the glass that's half empty, feeling despair and self-pity. But not Anna. She chose to be positive in the service of God. Choosing to live at the temple, praising and praying and looking for the coming of the Messiah. Let me ask you and myself, what's your outlook? If the Messiah or Christ was to come today, would you be ready? Do you live in the light of the Lord's return, expecting him to come today? Is your outlook heavenward or is it earthbound? What we're committed to speaks loudly about who we are and what we value. Businessmen talk about business and the next big deal, the next big kill on the stock exchange. Teachers and childminders talk about the children in their care. Just look at the adverts on TV for just £2 a month for all sorts of charities. For Anna, it was simple. Her priority was to please God. Anna's life testified to a life devoted to God. Verse 37, she never left the temple but worshipped day and night, fasting and praying. That's the place she lived. She was so committed to waiting for the coming of the Lord that it seems she moved from her homeland in Asher, about 120 miles away, just to serve in the temple at Jerusalem. But whether she lived in the temple or was just there from morning to night, she was a permanent fixture at the house of God and was committed to personal devotion. Continually worshiping God, continually fasting and praying. And remember, there were lots of synagogues, but only one temple. The temple of Jerusalem was the center of worship for Israel. And her place was to be near God. She had to be there. I'm sure we'll all agree, the lockdowns have been a terrible loss for us all, not to be able to come to church, to meet with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Technology is great, but it's even greater to physically fellowship together as we sing and worship, as we read God's word and have it expounded. To fellowship, even for a few minutes before and after church, is sadly missed. But I have to confess that even before lockdown, there was times when I wish I could have been somewhere else. Times when I was tired and would love to spend another hour or two in bed. Or when I wasn't so close to God as I should have been. And I'm sure you've all felt the same at some time too. But not Anna. Being in the temple day and night was no hardship for her. William Barclay wrote, she had known sorrow, but she had not grown bitter. She was old, but she never ceased to hope. She never ceased to worship. She never ceased to pray. Her heart compelled her to be drawn towards God. There are times when we don't want to read or pray, to come to church. But that should always be a temporary situation and quickly pass as our hearts are drawn closer to God and his people and we are driven back to church and fellowship together. Then we think of the prayers she made. Older people tend to think that their service is over. And yet here's a lady between 84 and 107 years old, and she was still serving the Lord. Her work was still not done. God never brings you to a certain age and then sets you aside. You're never past it. God always has something for every saint to do, no matter what age they are. It has nothing to do with strength or ability. God delights to use us in our weaknesses, because when we do everything in His strength and we're not doing it on our own. Anna was still serving God. She couldn't do anything other than pray. And that's what she did. She prayed for over 60 years. Imagine what would have happened if she'd decided, I'm tired today. I've been doing this for too many years. I think I'll take the day off and go home. Events overtook me on Monday past. And by the end of the day, I'd forgotten my quiet time. And on Tuesday, I sat down with my notes and my Bible, and I started to read that day's passage in my quiet time notes. I was reading Zechariah chapter 11, and in verse 13 and 14, it referred to 30 pieces of silver. So I took a note of that reference for Easter. Just remember that when it comes. But then I started to think, did I miss something yesterday? So I'm back to Monday's reading, the one I missed just two or three chapters before. And sure enough, there was another reference to the cross. And I felt guilty. Had to confess it. And I thank God for bringing me back to it. Anna didn't have to confess anything because she didn't miss a day. Maybe she was afraid the day she missed would have been the day the Messiah arrived. What a tragedy. Now, my absence wasn't crucial, but it was still important. I missed the blessing on Monday because I didn't come to God to get it. Anna made sure she didn't miss any days. And as a result, she was in the temple right at the very moment Simeon took the child and held him up for all to see and declared him to be Israel's long-awaited Messiah. And as a result of her devotion and service, Anna's years of faithfulness were rewarded. I missed out on Monday's blessing, and it wasn't the first time. How often do we miss out God's reward? Because we allow ourselves to flag. We allow other things to creep in to draw us away from God instead of being drawn to Him. Be careful of what might pass because you didn't take the time to come into God's presence and read and pray as often as you should. Be careful your absence doesn't become a habit. Because Anna was there, and because of what she saw and heard, we read about the praise she raised. Verse 38 says, coming up to them at that very moment. Now remember where she was. She was in the temple. Remember what was happening in the temple at that very moment. Verse 21, at the start of that passage, we are told it was on the eighth day. The Lord Jesus was brought into the temple to be circumcised, like every other Jewish male child would have been. Anna was coming into the temple at the very moment Simeon lifted up Jesus. And immediately she gave thanks to God. And convinced there was a big smile on her face. She'd been waiting for years. Simeon declared Christ was in their midst. And she could do nothing but rejoice. This was no ordinary child of the Jewish race. This child was different. This child was special. This child was the Messiah, the Savior, the great Redeemer of Israel, planned from before the beginning of the world, promised from the Garden of Eden, and now presented in the temple on the eighth day. Psalm 92, verse 1 says, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Anna's message was one of hope and joy and freedom. After decades of waiting and praying, there was an anticipation in Israel that the Messiah was coming soon. And now Anna finds herself in the temple at the exact time Christ finally came. God's promise in the Garden of Eden had been fulfilled. And Anna gave thanks unto the Lord and sang praises to his name. And her praises drew others to the Messiah. She gave thanks and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. She was a gracious lady. She was a blessed, a happy lady. She was a praising lady. And she drew people to Christ. Wouldn't it be great that we ordered our lives in such a way that when people come into contact with us, they were drawn to the Savior? Something in our demeanor, something in our voice, something in our joy, something in us that said, if you want to know more about Jesus, come and see me. Because he was the person she exalted. Verse 38 says, she gave thanks and spoke about the child. She only wanted to speak about one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone around her really didn't matter. All she wanted to do was speak of him. You remember when the angels and the archangels appeared in the sky just 8 days before this? They told the shepherds, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. No mention of Mary or Joseph, or the donkey either, for that matter. When the shepherds came to the manger, we're told, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. Again, no mention of Mary and Joseph. When Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple, we are told Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. A year and a half later, when the wise men came from the east, we are told, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. The language of the Bible is him, and him alone, for only he is worth talking about. What does it matter about anything else? The character of our conversation should be about him, because of who he is. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This was God himself. He'll be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. This was God the Son, humbly taking on human flesh and coming down and living with man. And we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Our conversation should be about him because of what he has done. He humbled himself and took upon him the form of a servant. He became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. However, thank God that on the third day he was raised from the dead. And today he's seated at the right hand of God and ever liveth to make intercession for us. And as a result of that death and resurrection, to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to be called the children of God. This is our Savior. This is the one we have to talk about. So let's be like Anna. Let's talk about him even more. Find ways in our conversation, in our daily lives, to bring the Lord Jesus in. Then there's the people she reached. That's what verse 38 says. She spoke to all who were looking forward to the redemption at Jerusalem. In the temple, there were many sacrifices made day after day. That meant many people were constantly coming and going and to and from the temple courts. Hundreds every day. And she would have known thousands of people over the past 60 years. After she was praying, after she was praising, now she was beginning to preach about them. And people heard her. She didn't speak about the Ten Commandments or the Exodus from Egypt. She didn't speak about the great King David or the prophets of the Old Testament. She didn't speak about her 60 years in the temple. She didn't speak about the shopping or the last sports match in the arena. She spoke about him, and people listened. Not many of us are called to preach, but God does ask every one of us to speak about him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you speak about him, some will listen. Not all of them, but some will. The Bible says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The problem is we don't know who will call on the name of the Lord. That means our responsibility is to tell everyone. And the more we tell, the more likely it is someone will listen. But don't forget, God hasn't told us to be successful. He's called us to be faithful. And as we bring forth the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, born in a manger 2,000 years ago, who knows, many might be saved. It's strange to say it already. Christmas has eventually come and now it's gone. And we're already into 2021, the start of a new year. For a week or three, we'll have to remember to write 2021 and not 2020. We'll have to think about this past week as last year. And what a year it's been. Tens of thousands struck down with coronavirus. Thousands killed by it. What used to be normal has been turned upside down and inside out. Livelihoods lost. Social lives torn apart. Living in bubbles. And we're starting 2021 in a coronavirus world. We'll have to keep the regulations until COVID is defeated, or at least until the vaccines are dispensed and people can overcome the effects of it. Then there's Brexit. And who knows what that's going to bring? New regulations. Maybe old arguments. Let's pray we don't go back to the old ways. As a church, we've been blessed. No one has been directly touched by coronavirus. But some people have had to come through traumatic times, cancer, operations, death in the family, not counting the problems and the procedures others have had to contend with. But whatever this new year brings, we still have this confidence in God because He is still sovereign. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's right here, right at our elbow. Whatever we have to face throughout this new 2021, we still have nothing to fear because God has it all in the palm of His hands. There's nothing He doesn't know and nothing He can't handle. At the moment, we're allowed to worship publicly. But even if we're not, and you have to return to staying at home watching me on a tablet or a computer, God will still be present. As we face another year, God will still be gracious and merciful and just. We'll continue to enjoy God's favor as He meets all of our needs. For the unsaved, God will continue to offer salvation and forgiveness of sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, about Him, still as great as ever. So let's be like Anna. Let's go out of this place today to live our lives for the glory of God, that we may have joy in our face, that we have a blessing in our soul because we have actually come to Christ for that blessing. As a gracious spirit that will attract people to say, I want what you've got. May we be the witnesses that God wants us to be, because God is still faithful.